Hey man, give it up for Matt. Let's go.
All right, campus. So I want to give an official family welcome to Long Beach Island. For I would say about 18 years of my life, I used to spend 4 weekends or 4 weeks down here in the summer at LBI, and this was my home. You know, we would come down, we'd go to Fantasy Island by the fire, by the big Ferris wheel, and that's my grandfather used to take me on those rides. And it was a big family event. I used to feel guilty. My grandfather would pay so much for those tickets, and I'm like, oh, I just want to go to the arcade. Why are we doing this? But right, it was my family who would come down here. And so I want to give you guys a big family welcome to really sharing in an incredible weekend. And this is going to be a weekend that is far greater than any family retreat I've ever had in Long Beach Island. And we're going to have an incredible time together. Now, before we go into our lesson, Brielle and I got here early. And one of the things that we prayed about for all of us is that the seconds feel like minutes, and the minutes feel like hours, and the hours feel like days while you're here. Because before you know it, time can fly by so quick on an awesome retreat like this. So what I want you to do is I want you to slow down your mind. Rob said that we're gonna unplug. I want you guys to really, what worries, what fears, whatever you have going on that's back home, if it could stay back home this weekend, this is the time to do that. I want you to understand where you are. I mean, God gives us conferences and retreats like this so that we can get refocused on Him to do great things on our campus. So let's take a second, just in silence. I want you to just realize where you are, letting those worries go. You guys with me? All right, let's do that. Guys, I'm psyched to be together tonight. You know, I think about, as I shared this with my family, now we're sharing it together. God, we've got a far more incredible family than any family I've ever met in the world. And that's in Jesus' church. Isn't it right?
Yeah.
I mean, before I was a Christian, I had friendships in the world that I would call, these guys are my brothers. But they hang out on weekends. And they get to back together at a lunch table on Monday, and they would talk about their friend, they would talk about what they did that weekend, and they wouldn't invite me. And that would happen, right? Our friendships were shallow. But what's so cool is that in Jesus' church, I would say even in Jesus' campus ministry, which is part of Jesus' church, we get to celebrate deep, awesome, and amazing relationships, don't we? Now, I can't see your hands, but I want to ask you guys, what are some aspects of Jesus' church that you are amazed by or you're grateful for? I can't see your hand, so just shout it out. What's something you're grateful for about Jesus' church? All right, loyalty. Yes. Yes. Awesome. Yeah. Cool. Power?
Love.
Hey, you look good, JD. Authenticity, that's awesome. Come on. Anything else? Yeah, diversity, hospitality, love, truth. That's true. And as Charles said, we do it for free. Guys, forgiveness. Guys, the list could go on, literally on and on and on. We have, even before we do this lesson, you can simply take time and just meditate on how awesome God's church is. And that would probably do more than anything I could say. Isn't that true? So let's be so grateful for Jesus' church. Now what's wild is we have a vision of Jesus' church. We have a vision because we're on the inside of it. We look around and we're like, God, this is awesome. We got friendships, we got depth, we got truth, we got authenticity. We hurt each other sometimes, but that's okay. Because we hold to the standard of repentance. We got God, who's our Father, who loves us so unconditionally, and that will never change. We got Jesus as our brother in the campus ministry, in the church, and that's never changing. You can make mistakes here, and you won't be judged. You'll be loved, and there's deep friendships. Praise God for Jesus' church. But we know that despite us seeing Jesus' church this way, oftentimes, even on our college campuses, college students and others will look at the church and will go, oh my gosh, there is no power in any church. They don't see what we see, but from their perspective, what they see is statistically there's 20,000 different denominations. Wow. There's 20,000, not churches, but 20,000 different types of churches. Let alone how many churches there are. How divided that is. They see bickering and bitterness and different opinions and how divided the church is. And as a result, they look at the church and go, there's no power in there. And honestly, the church, the religious church that we look at in the world, makes tons of excuses to tolerate disunity instead of going back to God's plan for unity. He would believe that Christianity has no power because it's so divided. But that's not the way it's supposed to be. And so what we're going to do today is we're going to go back to Jesus' standard. We're going to go back to the beginning. So what we're going to do is that, go with me, we're going to wind back the clocks. I'm doing a little Brent move right here. We're going to wind back the clocks a little bit. 2,000 years ago. To the first church, before there were denominations, before there was crazy disunity, we're going back to the first church. So if you got your Bible, open up to Acts chapter 2. If someone texts Vinny, he's lost. All right, I'm serious. So, like lost in direction. So we're going back to the first church. But not only that, we're winding the clock so far back that we're going to the first day of the first church. Not only that, we're going back to the first sermon of the first day of the first church. You don't go any further back than that, guys. And we're starting from the beginning. And we're going to learn what Jesus' church was built on and was supposed to look like, because that's what we're trying to emulate. Amen. Acts chapter 2, verse 36. You know, Peter stands up in the beginning of Acts 2, thousands of people in the audience, all of them are speaking different same languages. I don't know, Peter might have been long-winded. We're just going to skip to the end here. I say it's a great book, go back and read it yourself. Highly encourage you to do that. But in Acts 2, is that cool if we do that? Acts 2, verse 36, Peter stands up in crowds of thousands, and he says to them, therefore, let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Messiah. When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, brothers, what shall we do? Peter replied, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and for your children and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call. With many other words, he warned them and he pleaded with them, save yourselves from this corrupt generation. Those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. The first sermon of the first day of the first church. It's an important message, isn't it? And he tells a crowd of people who were Jewish, some people who weren't believers, but typically somebody who was Jewish, he tells them, listen, you got to repent And you got to be baptized. Every one of you. Why? You know, repentance is an interesting word. Repentance isn't feeling bad for yourself. It's not, you know, putting yourself in a little jail cell and saying, oh, I messed up again. That's not repentance, because that doesn't lead to change. Repentance is the Greek word metanoia. Meta, like metamorphosis, and noia being mind. And so he tells the people, you've got one way of thinking. You got one way of living. Jesus came and died so that you should completely change that way of living. Yeah. At one time, you were living for yourself. And you are Lord of your life. But he tells the people, you got to repent. Yeah. You got to put yourself from being Lord to now making who Lord?
Jesus.
Jesus has to be Lord of everything. Right. He's talking about 100% surrender.
Come on.
Complete surrender. You got stuff you haven't surrendered. That's not repentance. Yeah. You got to surrender it all.
Yeah.
Right? Imagine the impact that makes on a group of people. Then he says you got to be baptized. Now, if you haven't done a study on the word baptism, you got to do that. Because remember, this is the first sermon of the first day of the first church. This is so important. But the word baptism comes from the Greek word baptizo. You know, the Bible, the New Testament wasn't written in English. It was written in Koine Greek. And so you go back, and the whole thing, it comes from this word baptizo. And it wasn't a spiritual word. Simply just a description word of what we need to do. Baptizo simply mean dip, plunge, dodge, duck, you know, dip underwater, submerge, right? Someone's doing their laundry, they're baptizo their laundry. A ship sinks, that ship was baptized, okay? That's what baptism is. There is no confusing that word. You go under the water completely. Says that's what you gotta do. And after you repent, after you change your mind, after you're baptized, what do you receive? What does Peter say you get? The forgiveness of your sins. You go from being an enemy of God because you're opposed to God because of the darkness that's in you, and you get cleansed of that and brought into likeness in the family of Jesus. What else do you get?
The Holy Spirit.
The Holy Spirit. God himself decides to dwell within you. God takes a portion of him and then finds a little home in your heart, right? Got Iron Man chest. That thing he has, that's the Holy Spirit living in you, all right? And what's the third thing that happens as a result of being repenting and being baptized? Added to the church. The Bible says they were added to the number. That number is the body, the church, the believers. You give it a name, go for it. It's okay, whatever the name is. But ultimately, what you get baptized into is the family. You get baptized into the family. What does that family look like? I mean, you got a family back home, and probably not the same family in the church, right? A little different from what we're about to read. But we're going to keep reading Acts chapter 2. What is this family that we get joined into? What was the first church like? After they repented and changed everything, what were they doing? In verse 42 of Acts chapter 2, it says they devoted themselves, being the church, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Every one of them was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs being performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day. How often?
Every day.
All right, so every week they got... How often?
Every day.
They continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes. They broke bread in their homes, ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all people. And the Lord added to their number those who were being saved. Think about this for a second. 15 it was listed 15 different cultures, 15 different types of people, Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Cappadocia, you name it. It says 15 different nations were represented here, okay? Now, we don't have, it's not a globalization culture back then like it is today. You go from one city to a different city, the language is different. The culture is different. Their likes and dislikes and what they appreciate is so different. But they come together, and this is the description of the first church. Talk about united, right? Divide is not a word I see in there. So they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. And how often do they do that? Every day. Every day, every day? Every day. They devoted themselves to the fellowship every day? Every day. Who likes bread? I like bread, maybe a little bit too much sometimes. They devoted themselves to the breaking of bread. That's not just communion. They were eating in one another's homes. They were eating with glad and sincere hearts, and they're enjoying the favor of all the people, amazed at God's wonders. It was an incredible time. Can this church, can this family be found today? You know, it still exists. In Acts chapter 2, the Bible says, this promise is for you and for your children and for all who are far off. That church still exists. So we don't need to find the church. We don't need to recreate the church. We need to be the church. Can we have this level of devotion and family? What an amazing thing, isn't it? If you have one take, if you could remember one takeaway message from what I'm saying tonight, you can remember one thing as I'm up here speaking, and you go home. In order to have this, in order to become the church, you gotta leave the club. You gotta leave the club and become the family. That's okay. A little quiet. What are you talking about, Matt? Well, what is a club? A club, somebody introduces you to the club. There's a membership process. You decide to join, you pay your dues, you attend some meetings, but the level of commitment is entirely up to you. That's a club. But what's a family? Well, you're born into a family. You don't get to choose who's in the family. There's no membership process, but there's a radical transformation that occurs. There's no dues, but you do contribute blood, sweat, and tears. The level of involvement is not up to you. It's a total, all-out commitment to the family. Now, which sounds like Jesus' church? Is it the club or is it the family? The family. And that's what we want to be today. We want to be amazed at the family. And it must never become a club. Satan has done a good job taking the first century church and turning it into a 21st century club. And the truth is, in a group this large, there are people right here who are simply serving with club status. To be the church, we gotta get out of the club and join the family. So what I'm not talking to tonight, I'm not talking to those who are being committed, those who are involved and giving their whole hearts. I'm not talking to the accused. I'm not even talking to the guilty. Tonight who I'm talking to is the oblivious. To those who don't know if they're in the club or not. To those who don't know what club status really is, I want to talk to the club today. So what is the club? It's cordial. You greet people. You say hi. Superficial relationships. People don't expect you to get too deep. And honestly, because you're part of the club, you don't really want to get too deep. Club status is bonded by commonality and other interests. You sit with those you click with rather than connecting with those you might naturally not connect with. The Harvard Club, the Yale Club, the Beauty Club, the Racquetball Club, the Chess Club, the Glee Club, the Basketball Club, the Karate Club, or even yoga. To the club, Christianity is just a club. Club status is great for airlines and for hotels. But Jesus did not die on a cross in order for us to become a great club. Family, total devotion to one another. Jesus gave all his life, all his blood for us. How dare we give any less back to him? Do we dare go to the cross and make it into a club? Some of us have drifted. We joined as family, but we changed our status to club status. How do you know if we're in the club status? I want to reason with the club. I love you guys. I love those who are in the club, but I'd rather you be in the family. How do you know if you're in the club? Well, there's a disconnect. Club status. A Bible study is something you do rather than something you are. Well, club status, for Bible studies, you have to remind yourself constantly, 10 minutes here, 10 minutes there, a little crumb here, a little crumb there. You don't know the loaf of God because all you're eating is crumbs. Club status is you have to remind yourself to pray. Did Jesus have to remind himself to pray? Club status is Sunday. To church, you come and attend, but you have no role. Club status is you miss service a lot. You're out of town, you travel a lot. You're here when you're here, and you're not when you're not. Club status is, you know, I'm just simply late for church. Well, it's a club, but I'm here, but I'm late. Missing part of worship and feeling okay. Family is family. Of course we're early. We're there for the first song and we're into it. We love it. Family, we show up. We worship together and we rejoice. Club status means you're quick to, you leave quick after service. You're not too involved. You don't bump shells and you don't want to have too many questions asked. Club status says midweeks. What are midweeks? You can go. But you're busy, and if you're busy, you're busy. Club status says you don't even know what a midweek is really for. Do we just do this because we do it? Club status is Sunday service is your main spiritual activity for the week. Club status, not in a Bible talk, and you don't really go, and don't really know what it is. Well, I was never invited. Club status is no one is mentoring you. And you're not mentoring either. Mentoring is not in the picture. Hold on a second. All my notes disappeared. All right, one sec, guys. All right, I'll preach from a different version. Here we go. All right, here we go. Club status means you don't pray with people on a regular basis. Club status, nobody really knows what's going on deep inside of you except for you, hopefully. Why? Because you're in the club. You come a little, eat a little, sing a little. But the truth is, you can do that at the movie theaters. Club status is there's no confession of sins because you don't even know if that's in the Bible. Is that really in the Bible? Club status is not seeking advice. Well, why do I need to do that? Club status is the same as you were last year and the year before. And there really hasn't been a whole lot of character change since your baptism. Club status. You don't think about sharing your faith unless it's really, really, really obvious. Hey, do you go to church somewhere? Yeah, I do. I do. Hold on a second. Let me see if I have a card. I don't have a card. Hope you find it. Club status. What's evangelism? Why do we do this? You have to remind yourself constantly. It's not a part of you, and it's not in your heart. You know you're in trouble when you have to ask these questions. How involved do I have to get at church? How many services do I have to go to? How many people do I have to meet? How many people do I have to love? Have you ever asked those questions? It's like asking family, how involved do I actually have to get with you guys? Do I have to go to all the services and do I have to serve? Isn't there a minimum that I can serve? How much do I have to read my Bible and pray? And listen, guys, we all struggle with this. We all struggle with this. But we got to be called back to the amazing family. If you match the things that we're talking about, you're in trouble. You lost your first love. You're more club-driven than cross-driven. At best, you're dishonoring Jesus. At worst, you have left the family entirely. But let me share something with you guys. You guys want to hear some great news? You guys want to hear some great news? The great news is that you can repent. You can metanoia. You can leave the club entirely and join the family. You can do this. And the truth is, God loves repentance. God just loves it. He eats it up in the morning. Right? He says he scans the horizon for the repentant heart. He wants it. You know, notice that God doesn't throw the party for the 99 who don't need to repent. He throws the party for the one who repents. God loves it. And he wants you to do it. And he wants to sustain you to do it. The truth is, when one person changes, he throws a party. He's into clubbing. He loves it. A party is waiting for you in heaven. As we need to repent, absolutely, whoever you are, absolutely, you can change. You can be exactly what you were when you got out of the water. You can change. We have amazing disciples here, disciples who have weathered every storm, who've been growing, who are family. And the truth is, for you, if you want to change, you're not alone. You got people who want you to do it as well and who will support you, who also want you to be part of the family. Any healthy family, you're going to want to go to all the events. Bible talk, midweek, conferences, Sunday service, Bible studies, discipling time, service events, 5Ks, you name it, right? Of course. The world looks at that and goes, that's crazy. The level of devotion, that's insane. What's wrong with you guys? But no, it's family. The world's going to judge. They're going to think it's insane. But they don't think it's crazy for family. Crazy for the church because they don't want the church. They want the church to be the club. They want us to feel comfortable with their level of commitment, bringing us to their standard. In a family, You don't get to choose the level of commitment. The leader of the family does. Only in the club you get to choose. It's the church of your choice. It's the club of your choice. Find what you prefer, comfy, country club. We have to fight. We have to fight this false concept that Satan has placed in the world around us. We cannot accept club status. We have to be part of the amazing family. And the truth is, guys, in any family, there's going to be times where you don't click. There's going to be times where you bump and you're going to have arguments and it's not going to be pretty. There's going to be dysfunction. Can I get an amen if you're asking dysfunction? Man, some of you guys probably had dysfunction with me, right? There's going to be dysfunction. But there's dysfunction in every family. But what's amazing is that because of Jesus' standard, the dysfunction we might face gets to be resolved in a godly way. The family gets to be healed and not broken, like some of our families are back home. This is the most hopeful and inspiring family there can be. And God wants you to be a part of it. You know, the truth is, you look at me and you look around this group, you ever take a second to admire how different we are, guys? Oh my gosh. Color of our skin. Some of you guys' ages, right? Some of y'all have been in college for too long, man. That's brotherhood right there. Come on. But guys, listen. Listen, I'm mega white. I'm mega white, y'all. I think it was Eden and Desiree Holloway. They gave me a black card once. But that doesn't change the color of my skin. I'm mega white, y'all. I may not look or click or get along with you, but we are family. And we're fighting for that. And we're gonna work it out. People leave the family because they don't want to work it out. They're disappointed that church isn't a club, so they leave. God decides who's in the family, and we have to accept who is amongst us as our brothers and sisters. So what's the choice going to be? Is it club status, or is it family? Is it going to be accepting club status and the world's view of Christianity and the denominational disunity that we see, choosing the commitment that you want, or is it going to be family? There is so much power in unity, guys. There is so much power when we make the decision to be family. Amen. This beach retreat, you're in the club, you need to make the decision that I'm getting out of the club this beach retreat. There's stuff going on. This is the time to deal with it, guys. We want to be an amazing family, and when we're a family, Satan can't stop us. We're going in a direction that nobody can stop us. So we got the club status, we got family, and lastly, a club that I love desperately. Okay. We got the fan club, baby. Okay. In Acts 2:36, we got the fan club. It says, you know, thinking about this, I love the fan club, and here's why. They come to all the events. They're so stinking encouraging. I feel so encouraged by the fan club. I feel so loved by the fan club. The only problem is, that you're not family. So they're just cheering us on. I love that you're part of the fan club, but I would love to be your brother instead. Yeah. Now the cool thing and the amazing thing is that if you're part of that fan club, you can get out. Yep. And all you gotta do is what Peter said, repent and be baptized, and you will be added to his family. Guys, let's decide to be a family. Let's decide to give up club status And let's decide to follow God using His plan and His power and His design that hasn't changed over 2,000 years.
Yeah.
Let's go back to the original blueprint and live it out today. Amen?
Amen.
Awesome. Come on, y'all. All right. Now tonight we got a very special thing happening. Is that we got Ajahnay Mitra. Ajahnay will be leaving the fan club and joining the family tonight. Ajahnay, with that, come on up, Shauna and all the girls who are with us saying the Bible.